Welcome to Light Up Your Life with me, Michelle Mayur. These podcasts are created especially for healers, light workers, and indeed all spiritual seekers, and are selected from inspiring interviews, angel guided healing meditations, and lots more. Just feel your heart open, experience greater happiness and joy in your life, and move into greater alignment with your life purpose. I invite you to visit my websites at healthehealer.com, that's heal-the-healer.com, and angelwingshealing.com to find out more about the healing services and products I offer. Please note that the guided meditations should not be listened to while you're driving, operating machinery, or at any other time that you need to stay alert.
And good evening. This is Dan Hanneman, the Blockbuster with Raise Your Vibration and Grow Your Healing Business Telesummit. And I'm really extra excited to be with a wonderful being, Michelle Mayur, that's going to be sharing so many amazing things with us tonight. You really want to listen into her journey, her story. It's been amazing. And I know, the things that she brings, not only the wisdom that she brings you is going to be very profound, and also she's actually done the things that she'll be talking about, and they're simple things that have just made a huge difference, quantum difference, like we can't even measure a difference for her in her life, I know, and for people that she's worked with. So and then I know she's got a special meditation prepared that's extremely powerful. She really was clear, I won't say insistent, I'll say clear, that she has this 20-minute meditation. She says people have got to experience this. So we've got that all queued up for you and so much more. And so I'm really just very excited and looking forward to sharing all of that with you. Now, Michelle Mayur is the healer for healers. This is really what she does, a big portion of what she does, and she is the visionary founder of Heal the Healer Global Community, and I've had the great honor to speak to her community in the past. It's tremendous. She helps healers and light workers transcend limiting beliefs, energetic blockages, to reach more of their healing potential and shine their light brighter. Her private global clientele includes royalty. She is a channel for divine love and has worked in private practice as a healer for the last 17 years in Melbourne and abroad. She received the High Vibration ICES Healing of Love Energy Healing System for personal and planetary healing as a powerful energetic download from the higher realms, and now teaches this system worldwide or widely. So Michelle travels extensively to power places around the world, teaching and doing light activation work. She just wait till you hear about that. She feels her healing gifts come from being an Isis high priestess in ancient Egypt. And I know that's where healing gifts come from, as one that taps in and knows things. So the things she shares with that are just off the charts. So I'm just really, really happy to be able to welcome Michelle Mayur. So good evening, Michelle.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm really looking forward to our time together. This is great.
Yeah, I know it's going to be awesome. I've been really excited about doing this one, and I've got lots of great information to share. So you may need to slow me down at times, but hopefully we'll get a lot. I guess I'm just really passionate about speaking to your audience of healers, because I've been where so many of the listeners on the call are currently at, and it's not necessarily a nice place. So I really want to give people a lot of tools and strategies to help them to fast track their success as a healer, rather than being stuck in the struggle, lack, limitation that I myself was stuck in for probably the first 10 years at least of my healing practice.
Oh, wow. Yeah, tell us more about that, Michelle. We would love to hear that journey, there is that journey. I had my own, and you had that journey, and to hear about that, and because I've just been so excited. You know, I've been knowing you for the last year or two, and I've just been so excited to see your journey. You know, the way it's continued to evolve, especially this last year, has been really off the charts. And so, go ahead and tell us more about that journey, if you'd like.
Yeah, look, off the charts is a really good way of expressing what's happened this last year. In fact, sometimes I just have to pinch myself and say, "Is this really happening to me?" And yes, it is. But I guess to go back to when I first started my journey as a healer. I've been on a spiritual path for over 20 years now. In 1993-94, I was very privileged to have the experience of living on a tiny little island in the central Pacific right on the equator called Nauru, which a lot of people have probably never even heard of. But it was a very profound experience. And during that time, I found that I would just spontaneously channel this very profound poetry, and I would just be channeling or writing it down as fast as I was channeling it, and I really didn't understand where it was coming from, but I'd get to the end of the poem and I'd look back and reread it and I'd think, wow, this is profound. Where is this coming from? So that obviously fired my curiosity, you know, what was happening, what was I doing? So when I eventually came back to Melbourne for my son's secondary education, I picked up a magazine, which is a, you know, holistic kind of alternative health magazine, and I was just caught by something called Sekhem, which is actually an ancient Egyptian form of energy channeling, and somehow I just knew that that was what I needed to do. So I started learning Sekhem, and it just felt totally natural. It felt like I'd done it thousands of times before. So I decided to open up a healing practice, which was, you know, one of those things like most of us start off with where, you know, we'll see perhaps one or two clients a week in the evenings after our real job, the one that actually brings in the money. And so that's how I started off. But I was getting amazing results and, you know, I was getting my confidence up a little bit. Money still wasn't flowing that much, though, because at that stage I still had a lot of my own personal healing journey to go on. Not saying I've finished it either, by the way. In 1997, I had my daughter, and I had that opportunity to either stick with my real job in the corporate sector, you know, very high profile job, good income, secure, etc., but also a lot of office politics, a lot of stabbing in the back, hated every single second of it. So I made the decision there and then that I was going to fully and completely absorb myself in my healing practice. And that was a big jump. It was just really scary. I was just jumping off the cliff. I had very little support from other sources. So, I really did make a big sacrifice to go into healing. Anyway, look, in all honesty, my business did struggle for a number of years. And, you know, it was at the point where on a good week for me was defined as getting up close to somewhere that, is Australian poverty line. So that was a good week for me. I was eating through my savings. It wasn't a really good place, but I had that deep soul need to push forward and to work through what it was that was holding me stuck. So I got the message eventually that I was to run spiritual Egypt tours. Now, I'd always been fascinated with Egypt. I'd even wanted to be an archaeologist when I was a child. So, you know, there was that connection from a very young age. And I designed a couple of tours that I, you know, did basically from the ground up, worked with a good tour company to make that come into fruition. The tours were amazing. And especially the last one that I did in 2007, where we'd worked our way up through what would be the equivalent of the chakra system through the Egyptian temple system. And the end, the highlight, as it were, was private time in both the king and the queen's chamber of the Great Pyramid on the Giza Plateau. Now, as the universe wanted us to do some very special work, it all conspired beautifully that our group actually had the entire Giza Plateau, that's the pyramid, all the pyramids, the Sphinx, etc., for 2 hours solidly to do our light work. The energies went up so phenomenally high because I had a very gifted group of healers with me that it's like all our neural circuitry was just blown, wide open, and none of us were particularly able to communicate for a while after that. We all just had to be in that space, and for me, that was a very pivotal moment. I knew that my work was never going to be the same again. I knew that I was going to take my work on to a very high level, but I had absolutely no idea what. And so I spent probably the next 2 years trying different things, dabbling in different things. You know, was this it? Was this what I was supposed to be doing? And so I was wasting a lot of time and energy in things that really were not what I was supposed to be doing, and getting very, very run down, burned out and exhausted in the process. So in the end, the universe stepped in with its holy 2x4, as I call it, and I had a slip in my kitchen, broke my shoulder really badly, and was unable to work for quite some time afterwards, and it wasn't healing very well. So, you know, as a healer, that was a bit of a blow to the old ego. You know, I should be able to fix this, no sweat, but it wasn't happening. But it was what I needed to really shift me big time into what started off as a joke almost with the name, you know, heal the healer, heal thyself, healer, heal thyself, because I couldn't do anything with this shoulder. Anyway, long story short, shoulder is fine now, but it was the impetus to start the Heal the Healer community. I was so motivated from my own somewhat negative experience of being totally without any form of income for several months to make sure that I had other strategies in place, perhaps multiple income streams and so on, so that I would never be in that situation ever again. And I'm now set up so that I never need to be in that situation, no matter what happens. Mm-hmm. So the ride, Heal the Healer, had one focus to start off with, because I was following the guidance of someone that I thought knew a lot better than me what I should be doing. In the end, I realized that was absolutely a mistake. I had to be authentically me, which I am now. And I moved into a much more spiritual focus for Heal the Healer. Now, this year in particular has been a phenomenal ride. I've done a couple of trips to Bali. I've done some phenomenal light work in Bali, and that's been fully guided. And for people who click through onto my special offer, there's a stunning photo of me surrounded by a huge white light aura as I was doing a full moon meditation in Bali recently. And there's also another, even huger aura that's coming down and intersecting with mine from the heavens, if you like to call it that. So it's quite phenomenal. And I received the Isis Healing of Love system, and that just came purely as a huge energetic download in spirit while I was actually in Bali. And I'm teaching that it anchors in the energy of the divine feminine to the earth, and works very much with bringing in the empowered divine feminine, both for personal healing and healing others, and also for planetary healing. So it's an amazing system, and I'll tell you more about that later on. So yeah, it's been a really, really wild ride, and I'm hoping that talking today I can make some of the other healers listening to this call to make their journey a little bit easier, with perhaps a few less ups and downs than I went mm-hmm. through in getting to where I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so many great things you had to share about your journey, and how I think it relates to everybody that's here. And one of the really great things that you shared was around, you had people telling you, you know, do this, do that with your business, but in the end you had to do what felt right for you and what was authentic to you. That's what really succeeded for you. And I think that was like a really huge, one of the huge pieces that you shared in there. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's so refreshing, you know, that you're sharing that with people, you know, because there's so much out there about what you're supposed to do and what you shouldn't do. And I know one thing that one of the things I really love about you is that one, that quality that you have of, you know, really trust, you know, what's right for you. And that's the journey you've been on. And I think, you know, you're such a great example of how when you do that, you do it to full out, you know, like you've really been full out, and you really have allowed so many beautiful things to happen. And so tell us then, you know, we talk about these five keys, you know, these five keys for for healers, you know, in loving themselves to success. Could you start to tell us a little bit about those?
Okay, well, look, these were the ones that I was given by Spirit. In fact, when you invited me to speak originally, I asked for angelic guidance as to what it was that was going to be the most beneficial for the audience. So, you know, how best may I serve, basically, to be the conduit of this information. And I know that, you know, you've had a wonderful selection of speakers on. Some of them have been very esoteric and, you know, all different sort of levels. With me, I felt that in a lot of ways what I needed to share today was going back to basics. Not saying this is going to be, you know, easy or boring or anything. In fact, I'd suggest that people actually have a pen and paper so they can take some notes as they get the aha light bulb moments going on. Now, you're absolutely correct in saying before, when I decided to be my authentic self, to follow my own guidance, that was an incredibly powerful shift for me. It took a lot of courage. Of course, I'd been doing a lot of my work. I work on myself every single day. There's not a day goes by where I don't do something. So let's talk about being your authentic self, seeing you've touched on that already. When I first started Heal the Healer, you know, this was a whole new area for me, going and doing, you know, international teleseminars and things. That was something that was way out of my comfort zone. And I really, you know, I needed a lot of guidance. I needed mentors to help me. I listened to all sorts of teleseminars. I bought all sorts of products. And they were all sort of telling you different things to do and, you know, how to make a six or seven-figure business overnight and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, look, none of it was really sitting right with me, but the mentor that I was using mainly, who incidentally, you know, as the universe would have it, had been one of my former Reiki students a number of years ago. So, you know, he knew me and I knew him fairly well. But he was very, very good and is very, very good at the marketing, but he had a vision for me of the way he thought I should take Heal the Healer. Whereas for me, on that journey of getting it all set up and organized and ready to launch, I kept getting that it doesn't feel right. There's something not quite right. It's not quite me, but I couldn't put my finger on it. And I kept thinking, oh, is this just me going into fear? But no, it was actually my guidance saying, no, this isn't quite right for you. Anyway, look, you know, I did my launch. Everything went off quite well. I didn't get the results that I'd hoped for. I did get results, but not nearly to the level that I'd hoped for. And I actually went into a major depression after that. I really went into what I termed the dark night of the soul. And in that place, I went into that place of surrender. And in that place of surrender, in that place of prayer, and asking for assistance, it's, you know, like, I thought I'd done everything right. I followed this formula to a T. Why didn't it work for me? And I just needed to let it all go. I needed to surrender everything. And then the guidance started to come through as to what I was actually supposed to be doing it. I had the foundation, the framework, but I had to be authentically me. I was trying to fit into somebody else's model of what they thought I should be to be successful. And that was the mistake. Once I started to get comfortable with just stepping out, you know, like I'm stepping out now, quite often I bear aspects of my soul on calls, but people resonate with that because it means that I'm a real person. You know, I've had my struggles, I've had my challenges. Life has definitely not always been a bed of roses. And even now, you know, challenges come on a daily basis. But that can be your gift as well, especially if you want to start speaking to people, you know, on a large scale, that the story you have to tell can be very, very powerful and very inspiring for others. So don't be afraid to get out there and be your authentic self, warts and all, because that is actually what will draw the right kind of clients to you and the right kind of opportunities, because you'll be projecting a particular vibration and people who resonate with that will just naturally be drawn to you as a client. And it's about being, and you know, as you say so often, Dan, about stepping out from being, you know, invisible to being visible. and be willing to step out and know that you are a good person exactly as you are. And even, you know, if there are bits you'd like to improve, basically where you are right now is okay. And just really honour what your soul is guiding you to do in your work. Sure, you know, there might be bits and pieces of strategies that you pick up from so-called gurus, and that's great if that works for you. But first and foremost, be your authentic self and know that to be successful as a healer, the most important thing you need to do is to work on your inner game. Work on your self-healing, work on your own issues. It's not about having the best-looking website, you know, that you spent the most money on, or having the best marketing, because if underneath you're not in your authenticity, all the external stuff will just fall in a heap. So that's, you know, pray. If you're not really sure what your authentic self is, just, you know, start brainstorming, writing down what it is that you're good at, what it is that you're passionate about, and you'll find that you will just start to go into autopilot, and your soul, your subconscious mind will start to throw up what is your authentic self, and know that your authentic self is good. So yes, that's one of the keys. So would you like me to just continue?
why don't you just continue for now? Yeah, absolutely. I'll make a quick comment on that. That is such a master key. You know, when I know, you know, you're similar to me in that way for sure. Like when I work with people, it's the same thing. There's all the cookie cutter stuff, but I really like to meet people where they are and see what's really going on for them. Where are they really being guided to go? And you've got to listen to that. Or you could look at somebody, you could look at one person's website, another person's website. They could both look like, you know, off the charts websites, and one person could be totally struggling, another one could be doing totally off the charts. I mean, you know, so just based on their energy, you know, just based on energy alignment. So what works for one person will not work for another necessarily. You know, one person has a certain kind of website that might work perfect for that person. Another person tries it, doesn't fit for their energy. It's not going to work. You can't do that. You gotta go with what fits for you. The plain, you know, website that looks horrible to other people might actually be the one that works best for you. You know, honestly, it sounds funny, but it might be. You know, you never know sometimes. So it just kind of depends on your energy and who you are.
Yeah, look, without mentioning any names, there's one person that I was fortunate enough to experience healing with when he was in Melbourne a couple of years ago now. And he is a channel for pure divine love. There's just a total connection. But if you look at his website is clunky. It's horrible. It's so basic. But it's the energy he projects that you actually don't even need to worry about the quality of his website. You know, it's just the energy that draws you. So, yeah, there's a whole lot of stuff around that. One thing I would just like to backtrack to and to define what I mean by success, because what is success for me is probably not success for you or any one of the listeners on the call. In fact, probably for each person listening to the call, they have a different view or vision of what success looks like for them as a healer. So I'm not giving people a cookie cutter definition of success, because it is such an individual thing for everyone. For me, my personal feeling of success, which is where I'm now at, but of course this will continue to evolve over time. For me, success is about having the time and financial freedom to continue working on raising my vibration through my daily spiritual discipline, and while also positively assisting millions of people around the world and answering the divine call to do light activation work wherever it's needed in the world. So this for me is my personal definition of success. But I'd be very surprised if anybody else on the call is sharing exactly that same vision. So yes, that was just something I wanted to put in. Now, for me, the very, very first key to loving yourself to success as a healer is put yourself first. And this is so fundamentally important. Everything hinges around this. The quality of the vibration you give out is directly proportional to how much effort you put, no, I won't say effort, how much joy you put into putting yourself first. As healers, we tend to be almost hardwired into give, and give some more until it's positively hurting, because we feel that that's what we need to do. We're compassionate people. We're caring people. We care for others. We want to help others. And often that can be at our own cost. So for me, to be able to put yourself first, just using the very common analogy, for instance, of, you know, when someone travels on a plane and in the emergency drill that they give you first off, they talk about, you know, if you're an adult and the oxygen mask come down, put your own mask on before you put the mask on your child. So that's very, very simplistic, but it makes the point. The other thing too is I like to use the analogy of filling up your own cup energetically first so that you can give to other people from the overflow. So it's not that you're draining your own energetic reserves and going into burnout or exhaustion, but that you are actually full to start off with. You are full, you're at a high vibration, you radiate that, and then you stand in your power, in your light, and you give to other people from the overflow. Now, some of the ways of putting yourself first, and they're really obvious ways. They're so obvious that most people tend to overlook them. But I just want to really make this very, very clear. Plan time for yourself every day that is just for you. Absolutely. Even if you have to write it in your diary, even if you have to write it as an block out an hour appointment for yourself in your diary, just do it, because like for me, I start every day with my spiritual discipline, which includes things like meditation, connecting to the divine, asking what it is that the divine wants me to do during the day, and to be shown a very specific clue or receive an inner knowing of what exactly that is I'm to do. I will connect with nature. I'll walk. I'll touch plants. I'll connect with the earth quite physically. So I connect to nature. I'm also increasingly careful about what I eat. I tend to eat things that are as close to nature as possible, so as much fresh fruit and vegetables as I can. I'm not, you know, going on the raw food macrobiotic diet or anything too, you know, too difficult. I'm just basically trying to keep my diet as pure and natural, eating the bounty of nature, and eating as little processed food as possible. Do have my downsides at time, not perfect, still working on that one. A lot more pure water, and also exercising. I go for my daily walks, and often if I'm feeling stressed for whatever reason, I find that walking will just help to relieve that stress. I also walk that stress out of my system. And also exercise. And for me, yeah, I'm probably getting a bit old to be you know, doing too much of the, you know, high-powered classes in the gym, but I love doing things like yoga and Pilates and so on. So these are the ways which I'm stretching my mind and my body and helping to clear through energetic blockages. Now I think with the energies that are coming onto the earth plane being very, very powerful, and more of we healers are being called to step up to the plate to hold these extremely powerful energies, we also need to be very firmly grounded energetically, much more so than in the past where, you know, if you've done, say, Reiki level one, they'll talk about, you know, it's a good idea to be well grounded, blah, blah, blah. But it's almost like it's been there as an optional extra. Now it's imperative to hold the high level of energies. Otherwise, we basically can't do it. We would feel burnt out, exhausted, So spending time in nature is part of being a really good healer. Just really physically connecting your hands, your feet to the grass, the earth, the plants, the sand, the sea, whatever. Just really, really having nurturing your connection to nature, and realizing that to hold the higher energies, you need to be strongly and firmly connected to the earth. So those are probably, oh yeah, and the other thing too is playtime. Mm-hmm. How many of us miss out on playtime? And look, you know, I often find this with my clients as well, and often it can actually be a reflection back that maybe I haven't been taking as much playtime as I need. Often our inner child parts that just want to play and have fun are there thinking, I don't want to do this anymore, this is horrible, this is too much. And they just want to get out and have some fun and, you know, do something crazy, catch up with friends, go for a run around, whatever, it doesn't really matter. But make sure that regular playtime is a part of your normal day, because that will help to raise your vibration even more. When you're feeling happy, when you're feeling joyful, your vibration just naturally raises and your heart opens. So, yeah, put yourself first all the time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You're inspiring me to go further, you know. I've really been extra busy, so like I just got done working with some of my my high level, you know, Invincible Six Figure group, and I was working with them, and I told them about this too. I said, you know, I'm taking care of myself better than ever before, and I'm also not taking care of myself as much as ever before. So it's kind of like both. It's like because I'm so busy, you know, in a way, I've overamped it there. So I'm looking to make some adjustments there. But I also am doing a lot more, you know, for myself too. So I'm playing more tennis. You know, the other day, you know, I was so busy. I was just so busy. But yet I still carved out the time. I do all similar things that you do every day. I start off a routine very similar to what you do. And then the other thing I did was I went for a massage, like at a time when most people in their minds would say, I have time for massage. But I went anyway, and it just took my energy through the roof. I mean, like instantly. And I had so much more to give. You know, I had so much more to just naturally give that way when I took that time to receive that. So you're absolutely, that's 1,000,000% on the, it's so refreshing, because, you know, we're talking about growing our businesses. Usually the first things people are talking about is, okay, you better do more, you better be willing to step up, do whatever it takes. And it's like all that energy, you know, it's not about raising your vibration by self-care and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's so refreshing. Thank you.
Yeah, look, you know, I've learnt the hard way. I've been in that situation where I've been so busy doing stuff that, you know, I've got to the point where I'm not enjoying any of it, and I'm just spinning my wheels and nothing is happening. And then I think, okay, let's just stop all of this. Let's just refocus. And that is a time where going into prayer, and that might sound really radical or like a cop-out for a lot of people, but going into a state of prayer and asking for divinely aligned action steps, as opposed to just spinning your wheels madly and not really getting anywhere in the process. So rather than trying to figure it out all out with your mind and struggle and push and try and force and will things to happen, and thinking if you just work that bit harder, then, you know, it's going to all just slot into place. Well, newsflash, most of the time it actually doesn't. Yeah. But if you spend, say, an hour on a regular basis in deep prayer, and it can be to God, to the angels, to Mother Mary, to whoever you resonate with personally, and just ask for divinely aligned action steps, what is it that the higher realms most want you to do, and to show you step by step, baby steps, how you are to put this into action. And that, from that time where I started Heal the Healer, and it didn't really do what I wanted to, and I realized I was energetically out of alignment with what I should have been doing, that has been the thing that, out of everything else, has probably spurred me on to more success. Because rather than trying to use my, you know, ego, very limited mind to work everything out myself, trusting more in the higher guidance, that there's a higher divine plan at work for me, that if I step out of my own way and surrender the struggle, that I will be shown the pieces of the plan bit by bit as I'm able to process and assimilate them and, you know, take action on them. So it's not about, you know, being in prayer and then doing nothing. It's as one of your other guests early on, I think Christine Closer, at one of her favorite sayings, and is, you know, pray and move your feet. And I think that's wonderful. So instead of just trying to figure it out with your mind, actually take divinely aligned action steps. And that's part of what I'm going to go into in the meditation later as well. So, yeah, another thing that's really important for healers too, in terms of one of the keys that I'm talking about for healers, is taking back your power and establishing boundaries. Now, I made every mistake in the book here and then some. At first, you know, with the healing business, you're so, well, I won't say you as in everybody. I'll refer it back to me. Okay. At first in my healing business, I was really desperate to get new clients. So I would take on board clients that were probably less than ideal for me, with whom I probably was never going to get, you know, any good outcome. I would answer the phone at weekends, having a home-based business, having my office space and my clinic space at home. You know, the phone would ring and I would answer it, and it would be some client wanting some kind of information or to make an appointment. And no, that actually wasn't okay. I found out the hard way, and I had to be showing this lesson several times before I actually got it, that the people who ring up on a Sunday, any time on a Sunday, do not value either you or your work. They do not respect you and your private time, otherwise they would not ring on a Sunday. They turn out to be those clients that you have the most trouble with, that are least cooperative, that want their pound of flesh from you, and in the end, that they still don't get a really good outcome anyway. So that was a very consistent lesson I had. So one of my first things that I learned was never answer the phone at the weekend unless it was someone, a phone number that I recognised. So respect my private space. So that was my boundary, that I do not work at the weekends. I see clients during the week, the weekdays, and I also see a limited number of clients in the evening as well. So that is enough time for people to contact me for a private session. So if they can't fit in with those times, then they need to look elsewhere. That's basically it, you know, pure and simple.
Yeah.
The other thing that I was doing a lot at first was offering discounts, freebies, perhaps, you know, say I'd have someone booked for an hour session, I might go for an hour and a quarter, but just, or an hour and a half, and just charge them for the hour session. People begin to expect that, and they're still not really valuing your work. So for me, I stopped doing the discounts, unless I do discounts for pensioners. That's something that I'm very consistent on. But in terms of giving discounts for other people, you know, I'll get, say, single mothers contact me. And look, I know single mothers do it tough. You know, I've been a single mother. My soulmate partner died when our daughter was very young. So I've done it as a single parent since then. So I know it's not an easy road. But there are also a lot of other healers out there who are willing to, you know, either do their work by donation or very, very cheap. So if they can't afford what I'm charging, then they need to look elsewhere. For me, the key came when I saw a lady, and basically from the time she stepped into the session, on her first session, she started talking about all her financial woes and blah, blah, blah. I knew she was just angling for a big discount off the cost of the session. Eventually she got me, I succumbed, and I gave her a discount. Then as she left, I looked out the window and she drove off in a black Mercedes.
Oh,
and I thought, oh, you idiot, Michelle, you idiot. So that was a lesson to me. Don't buy into people's stories about needing discounts all the time, because some people will try it with you no matter what. And, you know, she may have overcommitted financially, I don't know, but she was living in an upmarket suburb and she drove off in a black Mercedes and I'd just given her a discount.
Didn't feel too good about that, yeah.
Oh, I felt terrible. I was really kicking myself with that one, but I learned my lesson. Also, people, unless you're in the middle of a you know, particularly important process when you're working with someone, and you explain to them that, you know, are you happy to go over a bit with time, that's okay, you know, but you need to make it clear with people that you're not going to go over time, add on a free bit to every session, because it's your time as well. The other thing too, if you you need to start thinking about what do you do with sessions that people either cancel at very short notice or just forget to turn up to, because that's something that happens a lot, and it's also a sign that you're not in your power, because you're not respecting yourself and they're not respecting you either, because if they did respect you, they would either come to the appointment or give you plenty of notice that they couldn't do it. So, you know, do you charge, don't you charge, if you charge, how much? These are all issues that you need to be thinking of for your business to be successful. And if people are going to be charged for a missed appointment, they need to know about that in advance. So that, you know, they can think very carefully, well, am I just, you know, testing the water here, or am I really serious about making change? The other thing too is that a lot of us, well, we all have different parts that run us, and with healers, we tend to have a lot of parts. You know, one very common part that runs us in our healing business is the people pleaser. So we want to be liked. We don't want to rock the boat. We want to, you know, make people happy. We want to get a good outcome for people. So there's all those kind of our own emotional stuff that basically we need to just move beyond. We are here as professionals. We're not here in our healing practice to necessarily make friends. We're here for the highest possible outcome for the client as they present to us. So if you're stuck in the people pleaser, not wanting to rock the boat, want, you know, saying yes, yes, yes all the time, learn to say no. Learn to stand in your power and say no. And if you don't feel right about working with a particular client, say so. Just say so. You do not have to take clients on board just purely thinking that, oh, if you don't take this client, there won't be any other clients for you. You won't make any money, and so the negative self-talk goes on and on. If you're more selective about the clients you work with, you'll actually attract a better caliber of client, and more of the ones that you really can affect profound changes with. Another one that tends to be one that runs the show a lot as a healer, and this was one I was actually struggling with for a while, was martyr. It's almost as though I had to sacrifice. I had to sacrifice myself. I had to sacrifice my lifestyle. I had to sacrifice my family, et cetera, in order to be a healer. And that can be quite insidious. It took me a while before I even realized that I had that one, you know, running in the background a lot of the time. So if you haven't got that work-life balance in, you know, good shape, start to just think about what it is that I value most. Why is it that I am doing this healing business anyway? Why is it that I want to do this healing? And get that balance. And for me, I actually wanted to have enough money that I could spend more quality time with my family. And I wasn't doing it the way I was structuring it then. So by taking back my power and establishing boundaries and making, you know, dedicated family time, dedicated me time, it really helped shift my focus and get people respecting what I was doing a whole lot more.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, I think when you're in a place where you're, you know, you could be, well, if you're just starting or if you're just trying to get it going, you know, with the healing business, or even when you become more successful and you've got a lot of clients, I think people can run into those issues really at all those levels, because if you got a lot of clients and success, sometimes you feel like you got to keep it going. You can't ever, you know, can't say no, you know. One of the things that hit me was, yeah, that some people probably feel like, hey, my doors are open. I'm not supposed to turn anybody away. Who am I to turn anybody away? You know, I'm supposed to help everybody. And so this person's really hurting, and they really need me, and then I better stretch and do whatever I can to help them. And If I don't, then what kind of person, what kind of healer am I, and what's going to happen to them, and the people pleaser, you know, martyr, all that stuff comes in, and how do I know, you know, well, from people I've talked to, but I've been there too, you know, I've run into that stuff in the past, and probably still do at times, you know, it hits you, you know, you're like, oh, geez, you know, I really want to help them, then you have to just see it from a higher perspective and just look at if you're doing something that is not really feeling aligned for you, it's definitely not for the highest good of all and certainly not the person in front of you. So like you said, you know, I think it was really telling a lot throughout this time is that, yeah, usually when you go ahead and do it, and, you know, you're like, okay, I'm going to bite the bullet, I'll do this anyway. Like, it usually doesn't lead to the best outcome, you know, for the client anyway. Like, you know, they'll get maybe a great result, but maybe it's really not, you know, all that great. So yeah, absolutely, on all levels, and just to be in abundance mindset, like, when we try to take care of people, we hold them back, you know? That's something that I've really come to learn, you know, so well over the time of being in business. It's like the more I try to, you know, feel like I'm the one that needs to take care of all these people that want help, you know, wow, you know, it really hurts. You know, it hurts everything. It just puts a damper on everything. It's something that I think it's hard to see sometimes when you're in the middle of that moment with somebody, but you have to just say, you know what, this doesn't feel right. I've got to set my boundaries, whatever that is. You know, I can't take your call today. I'm not going to extend the time. You know, I'm clear about my boundaries. I take my business seriously in terms of the business, in terms of my self-care, you know, all that. And just have that clear and you just stick to it. And one last thing, you know, like I'm passionate about all this too, but I could keep going on and on. But one last thing for now is like, really, when I have seen this, like I have worked, you know, many, many hours and had great months financially, okay? But I've also had months where I just said, you know what? I want to just have the greatest time ever this month and just it's all flow this month and seen, you know, my income increase, you know, like, you know, just like have some of my best financial months, you know, at that point in time.
Absolutely.
So all different kinds of ways to manifest.
Yeah, look, one of the key lessons that I learned in Bali recently was this whole aspect of being in flow. And when you release the need to struggle and push and be in control of everything and try and force and will things to happen, and you just surrender and ask for to be in alignment with higher guidance, then that's when the doors really start to open, and often when the money really starts to flow in. So it's definitely not in alignment with how much effort and push and shove you're putting into making your healing business happen.
Yeah.
It's much more about being in divine alignment and allowing that to work through you.
Oh, absolutely. And the easier you make it on yourself, often the more money you allow yourself to be able to generate, because when you're really pressed up against it, even the millionaires that are pressed up against the glass, you know, really trying to make a lot of money, you know, they may be losing a lot of opportunities because they're so pressed up against what they know and what they should do, they can't even see all the other opportunities. And I think that's something you basically were saying earlier. It's so true. When we just relax, it's like, oh, wait a minute, you know, like, you know, wow, here's an opportunity. I could make, you know, $10,000 more dollars by doing this, or $100,000, wherever people are, $100,000 more if I just made it simple and easy by just doing this. Why can't I just let myself do this? And a lot of times it comes down to the worthiness thing. Like, who am I to be able to just let it be that easy, you know, and really be able to enjoy wealth, you know, wealth, whatever level that might be for people financially and otherwise, but just to be able to relax in that and claim your value, you know, claim your value that you really bring to people's lives, because it's really something. You know, that's why I'm so passionate. That's why I do this work for healers. They make such a deep impact. And so we have to take extraordinarily good care of ourselves, extra good care of ourselves, and we have got to allow ourselves to just open up to be the great examples to the people, to the consciousness, and to the energies are circulating, right, for all. So, you know, if you want to help more people, it's like, you know, it's kind of like you got to do the opposite of some of the things you think you ought to do, right? It's like, oh, don't take those extra clients. You know, it'd be better service not to. And so that is so true. I have to catch myself still on that one, though, Michelle. Like, I'm like, oh, I could help so many more people. Let me create this other program and this one and that one. And I have to be like, okay, wait a minute, wait a minute. Oh, we're getting way out of balance here.
That's right. First, look at yourself when you're in order and you know your self-care is there and happening consistently. Yep, then you can start looking at creating more programs. So, yes, look, I slip into that myself, so don't worry. The other thing which I think we're leading on to as well, one of the other keys that I wanted to talk about is being your own best friend and believing in yourself and your work. Now, so many of us, and this isn't just restricted to healers, this is across the board, many of us go through life just feeling somehow fundamentally flawed, that we're not good enough. And if you start to become aware of it, you'll notice how many times you start to just flip into negative self-talk and beat yourself up about your perceived inadequacies. So, for instance, to use an example, say, for instance, you have a client and you do the session with the client and you don't get a particularly good outcome. It was a very difficult session, you know, didn't really work for you, and you think, oh, I'm probably not going to see that one again. I don't think they were very satisfied with what I did. For people who are especially in the lower levels of their healing business, the first thing that most of the healers will do is go into that negative self-talk place. Well, that was a failure, wasn't it? Oh, if only I'd done that. Oh, I'm no good at that. I should have known better. Oh, look, I'm hopeless. I'll never be any good as a healer. I fail at everything I try. I wouldn't know what it takes to be successful. I'm useless. I'm hopeless. Why did I ever start this healing business? Blah, 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 blah. You know, and it can spiral downwards really, really quickly. And as it spirals downwards, it's very interesting because some of those core subconscious beliefs that are still running will also come up to the surface in the negative self-talk. So it's very interesting to see what that self-talk is, because it will show you aspects of yourself, subconscious programming that still needs to be addressed for your healing. Now, obviously, if you're going into that really negative space, your vibration is plummeting through the ground really rapidly. So, and the other thing is too, if you had a client come into you, not the same one as before, this is a nice new client. If you had a client come into you and they were feeling really depressed because they just had a bad experience and they felt they'd failed and, you know, they started going off into negative self-talk, would you start to agree with them and say, oh, yeah, you're useless, you're hopeless, you should have known better, how could you be such an idiot, etc., etc.? You'd probably see them just burst into tears if they weren't already and run crying hysterically out of the room. You're never to be seen again. Why is it that with ourselves, we do not offer that same level of compassion, of kindness, of acceptance that we offer our clients so readily? And a lot of that boils down to conditioning that we've had as children from figures that we perceived as authority figures, such as the critical parent, the critical teacher, or any other authority figure that has put us down or damaged our feelings of self-worth and self-esteem in any way. So treat yourself with the same loving kindness that you would treat your best friend or a client who is obviously feeling distressed, and say things to yourself like, yeah, okay, maybe that didn't work out the way I wanted it to, but yes, I learned something out of that. And at the time, I was doing what I thought was the best thing with the skills and resources that I had available to me. And soften it down. Be kind to yourself. And look at failure as a learning opportunity. The other thing, of course, with clients is not everyone is ready to heal, and most of us find that out the hard way. There are some clients who actually have secondary gains by remaining sick. Perhaps they get more attention. Perhaps they get out of taking on responsibility for certain things. You know, maybe cooking meals, taking the kids to school, or, you know, whatever. But at a subconscious level, they actually want to hold on to their illness. There might be other clients that you get that they don't really have any real friends, but they the only thing they have is their story of woe and, you know, victim mentality. And they go from therapist to therapist sharing this story because there's nobody else they can really talk to as a real friend. And even if they have to pay someone to listen to them, it's better than not being able to share this tale of woe. So they have no interest in really getting better. Because then who would they be? What would they talk about? So do not blame it on yourself if you don't get a good outcome with someone. Some people are just seriously not ready to change. They're not in the right space. They might need to undergo a period of further suffering to go even further down in the mess they've created before they're willing to own it and take responsibility for what they're creating and start to pull themselves up out of it. And you don't know at the higher level what kind of process you've triggered in that person. And it doesn't matter. As long as you're working with the intention always that your work is for the highest good of your client, it's not up to either you or the client to second guess what that highest good is. The higher realms know that and they're working with you. So yes, it's and I can see time's getting on a little bit. So I'm just going to quickly whip through my fifth key, which is face your own fears. Now, it's very easy to get stuck in a comfort zone. You know, most of us have spent a large amount of our lives stuck in a comfort zone, even if it's been an uncomfortable comfort zone, but it's familiar. You know, we know what that feels like, even if that's one that's been, you know, around struggle and stress and limitation and lack, it's still our comfort zone. So to start to step outside that comfort zone can feel really, really scary. So I like to take baby steps. And if I hadn't taken baby steps from where I was, you know, with my broken shoulder to where I am now, to move progressively out of my comfort zone just a little bit each day, there is no way I would be sitting here right now talking to a global audience of many, many thousands of people and sharing my story. And that would have been lost to the world. So, yeah, hopefully I'm sharing something that's very useful to people. So each day, just do something that challenges you to stretch just a little bit outside your comfort zone. Maybe call up someone and, you know, maybe a client you haven't seen for a while. Just ask how they're going, for instance. And, you know, they might say, oh, yeah, I've been thinking about, you know, it's time to, you know, come and see you again or something like that. So you never know where it will lead. And you can ask to be shown little steps day by day to help you move forward. So when you look back 6 months down the track, you realize what a huge difference you've actually come just by taking little baby steps. Some of the ways that we tend to show, and also fear is a very low vibration. It's out of alignment with God. When we're in a space of alignment with God, we're in a space, and this can be the God of your understanding too. We're in a space of love when we're in alignment with God. And love is basically the opposite end of the spectrum to fear. So if you're in fear a lot of the time, you will be out of alignment with receiving divinely guided information to help and support you in your work. And if you're stuck in fear, obviously your chances of moving forward and succeeding are minimized. So some of the ways that we exhibit fear, one of the key ones is procrastination. Now, how many people are guilty of procrastination? I know that's one of my things which I'm getting better at. I mean, I'm not procrastinating more, I'm actually getting better at not procrastinating as much. I would be very good at doing all the little bits and pieces, the things where I wasn't going to be judged. I'd do those fine. So I'd be busy working, but I wasn't doing the things that really needed to be doing to propel me forward. So for instance, to send out a broadcast email to my database, often I would procrastinate for ages on actually sending it and sending it to the very last minute because there was this underlying fear of being judged. So that was something I had to work with, process and get over. And I think, well, as long as I'm happy with me, not everybody else is going to get where I'm coming from necessarily, like me or whatever, and that doesn't matter. I'm speaking my authentic truth and that's all that matters to me. The other one leading on from that is perfectionism. Now, I term myself a recovering perfectionist. I'm still dealing with that. And that was tied into the procrastination as well. So getting back to the example with the email broadcast, often I'd go back and I'd re-edit it and change a word or move a couple of bits around. And I kept going back and doing this. And there'd be part of me which was almost obsessively doing this and another part of me which is saying, oh, for God's sake, just press send and get it out there. So there was this inner war happening within me. So that was me moving through my fear. Now I'm much, much better about, oh, yeah, get it done, couple of tiny little edits. Okay, fine, let's just send it. The other aspect, too, is facing your fears about trying new things, trying to do things differently in your practice, learning perhaps other ways that you can promote yourself, maybe where you could speak in public or you know, lots and lots of different things you need to do. A huge fear for healers, and this often has past life influences where we've been persecuted and often put to death for being healers and for speaking our truth. So learn to feel comfortable speaking your truth. And working with many, many healers over the years, I've found that many healers have blockages around the throat chakras, especially seeing there are so many women who are healers, that often we have the double whammy. Not only do we have the blockage in our throat chakra of persecution that stems from past life, we also have that suppression of speaking our truth from being in still a male-dominated society. So that's the double whammy. So working on throat chakra issues is very, very important to help you move through your fear of speaking your truth. And this doesn't have to be anybody else's truth, but as long as it is your truth, your authentic truth, then you need to speak it. If it's coming from your soul, then it's up to you to express it. So working through issues to resolve your fears around speaking. And interestingly enough, a lot of people have a fear around failure, but just as many people seem to have a fear around being successful, because it means that this fear in being successful of, okay, well, how would I still be able to keep my friends? What would they think of me? Would they think I was, getting up myself or whatever? How's that going to affect my family if the roles of everybody are different within the family and suddenly I'm really successful and they're not? And all these other things which are running away at the subconscious level where we don't want to, rock the boat and keep the status quo. And that can lead to self-sabotaging behaviours too that mean that you are almost guaranteed that you're going to fail at something because you don't really want to change the dynamics amongst your family and friends. So these are all little fears, and some of them actually quite big fears, that we need to be working through to raise our vibration as healers. Otherwise, any place where we're stuck in fear, our vibration is stuck as a low vibration. And that's going to attract to us, if it attracts anyone at all as clients, it's only going to attract people who are probably at a fairly low vibration anyway. So we need to keep our vibration high, face our fears, have the courage to work through our fears and heal, so that we can attract a better kind of client to work with.
Oh, absolutely. And, at this point, I think it would be really great just to share a bit about that real quick, and then go ahead and share some more around what you have to offer everybody beyond today. And one of the things, I'm sorry, we've got ahead is a meditation. Go ahead and tell us about this great offer you have for everybody.
Okay, well, once again, I always do all this work in conjunction with the angelic guidance that I'm receiving. So what I've picked to put into this Loving Yourself to Success package for healers is very nurturing, it's very loving, it's all designed to raise your vibration. And there is mainly their audio downloads, but there are 10 different items in total, so it's very, very comprehensive. Now, as I mentioned before, I've been working with Isis Energy. Well, I've actually been working with the ancient Egyptian goddess Isis for many, many years now, but it's become accentuated. So there's a self-healing technique as one of the items in the package that will step you through how to use the Isis energy for self-healing. I'm also offering a free energy scan which will identify your core wounds as a healer. And with that, I do healing around that, and I give you takeaway techniques to help you continue to process that. So that's something else I'm offering. The rest of the things are audios. I'm just scanning down through my page now. A number of them are guided meditation audios. I've got things like Listen to Your Heart, Nurturing Your Soul, Learning to Love Divinely. That's absolutely beautiful. And Finding Your Divine Essence. So they're very spiritual. They're very feminine, nurturing, loving kind of vibrations. And as well as those four guided meditations, I've got several interviews that I've taken from the Heal the Healer website, interviews that I did as part of my healing experience teleseminars. And one of those is one that I actually did with Dan a few months ago. And that's on becoming an invincible six-figure healer and three very practical steps to growing your healing business now. There's another one by Darren Linton in the UK, and that's how to connect with the love and guidance of angels. That was a very beautiful interview as well. And the 10th item is on raising your energy, vibrating higher for optimum health and for healing others. Now, this is absolutely so spot on to what we've been talking about today. And this is an interview I did with Arda Ozdemir, and he's also a very gifted healer. So, yeah, I would love to do this meditation once again, asking the angels what they wanted me to do. So this was what I was given. And, it's just a basic framework. Now, just... It, for people who are listening to the replay of this, don't listen to this while you're driving a car, operating machinery, or at any other time where you need to remain alert. If you suffer from psychosis or grand mal epilepsy, I strongly advise you not to use or not to do this meditation without first getting the okay from your treating doctor. Okay, that's got that out of the way. Now, just everybody... settling down, just wriggling around if you need to in your chair or where you're lying down. Getting yourself nice and cozy and starting to breathe deeply. Just breathing in calm and relaxation. And breathing out stress and tension. And just notice how easily and effortlessly that body is starting to relax, giving yourself the gift now of relaxing deeper and deeper with every word I speak and with every breath you take, deeper and deeper, as muscles letting go now, feeling so wonderfully relaxed, feeling and finding yourself now deeper, deeper relaxed with every breath. And when you're ready, you can let the breathing just settle down into its natural, gentle rhythm. Continue to breathe in calm and breathe out stress and tension. And I'm going to call forth now the energies of the empowered divine feminine, the compassionate energies. I'm going to call forth the energies of the Egyptian goddess Isis, Kuan Yin, Mother Mary, and all the other divine feminine presences of the highest vibrations of light and love that want to work with us at this time. And I call forth now the angels, in particular Archangel Michael, to protect each and every one of us and keep us safe, to allow us to shine our light even brighter. I call forth now Ganesha, the Hindu elephant god, the god that works with me very closely now and helps to clear through obstacles that keep people blocked and stuck and provides that strong masculine energy and protective energy as well. And I ask now that all the deities and higher beings that want to be present at this time, gather round now. Feel them gathering. While they gather into place, taking your awareness now to up above your head to about 6 inches or 15 centimeters above your head to an area called the Soul Star Chakra. And imagine that in your Soul Star Chakra that connects you to divine love, to your higher guidance, to your Akashic records. But just in the top of this Soul Star Chakra is a beautiful lotus bud, and this bud can be white, pale blue, or any other color that's naturally coming to you. And if you can't see that, just imagine what that would be like if you could see it just sitting in the top of the Soul Star Chakra. And imagine now that you can rotate that lotus bud slowly, anti-clockwise, or the other way if it feels more natural. And that lotus bud opens up wide and flat into a beautiful lotus flower. You can even see the gold and yellow stamens in its very center. And now your Soul Star Chakra is open. And taking your awareness now to the top of your head, to your crown chakra, and becoming aware of a similar lotus bud in the top of that crown chakra. And once again, rotating this lotus bud to open the flower right up and open that chakra right up. Already starting to feel the energies of the Divine Feminine flowing down from the higher realms. As we now move to the heart chakra, and out in front of you there's a beautiful lotus bud. Just rotate this to open your heart chakra. Good, and moving down to your base chakra. It's a beautiful lotus bud that's pointing down with the base of it just touching your base chakra. Rotate that lotus bud to open the base chakra right up. Now moving down to the Earth Star Chakra, which is located about 18 inches or 45 centimeters below your feet. And this connects you with Mother Earth and with grounding. And once again, imagine that there's a lotus bud in the Earth Star Chakra. It rotates and your Earth Star Chakra opens. And from the soles of your feet, there are energetic roots of energy. You may see them as light energy. It's going down like a mass of roots down from the soles of your feet, connecting to the Earth Star Chakra and going even deeper down into the earth to connect you to Mother Earth. And now, all the divine loving presences, the divine feminine, the angels and all the other presences that have gathered together are encircling us now as one beautiful group. Feel that energy. Feel that energy of love beginning to build. This energy of pure, unconditional love will continue to intensify throughout this session. It may feel very different to what you've allowed before. Receive it anyway. It is a gift. Each and every one of the angels surrounding us is beaming unconditional love. And you begin to feel more aware of this through your open heart chakra, your heart space. And as you're breathing now, it's as if you're breathing in directly this divine feminine energy of love, breathing it in directly to the heart chakra. And then breathing it back out from the heart chakra. So your heart breathing. And your heart may start to feel all sort of tickly and tingly inside as you do this, almost as though you're about to get a heart orgasm. It's a wonderful feeling. Don't worry if you can't feel it quite yet. Just allow yourself to receive this energy of love. And as you do so, your heart space is expanding wider and wider, feeling glowing, vibrant, open, allowing yourself to both receive and give more love. And now, place your hands over your heart. We're going to send love to those parts of you most in need of healing. We're going to send this via the heart, that you may feel some beautiful sensations of warmth from your hands just naturally going into your heart. You may feel tears of release and joy rising up to the surface. There's parts of you that had felt unloved or unlovable. Start to remember what it feels like to be loved by the divine. So with your hands over your heart now, send love to those parts of you specifically that have felt unloved in this lifetime or any other, or even those parts that have felt unlovable. I'm just going to remain silent while you do this now, just allowing the energies to flow. And even if you've never channeled energy before, this is just an automatic experience of loving energy that is being gifted to you now from the higher realms. And now sending love to those parts of you that are not feeling good enough or worthy enough. Still your hands over your heart. Just the intention to send love to those parts of you that haven't been feeling good enough or worthy enough. Having the intention to send loving energy to those parts of you that have been feeling like a failure, even if you're not consciously aware of them. And those parts of you that have been feeling afraid to speak up, to speak your truth, sending love to these parts as well. Now sending love to those parts of you that have been feeling unworthy to receive, that have been blocking you from receiving all manner of abundance. Send love to those parts now. that have felt unworthy to receive. And still over your heart, sending love to those parts that have been feeling angry, frustrated, or resentful. And last but not least, sending love to any parts of you, subconscious or otherwise, that have been feeling like a victim. And your heart is naturally continuing to expand to be more and more light-filled, more and more filled with love, both giving and receiving divine love. And in this expanded awareness, what does success as a healer look like for you? And these are maybe some options just to give you some ideas. Maybe it's lots of satisfied clients, a diary full of bookings, being debt-free with healthy bank accounts, running healing workshops packed with enthusiastic participants, maybe creating your own healing products, maybe developing multiple streams of income or running teleseminars or online webinar training. Maybe it's being able to do humanitarian work in an exotic location or developing a 6 or 7 figure business, or even traveling and teaching your healing work around the world. So using all of your 5 senses now, just imagine a scene vividly of your version of success as a healer. The success that will occur for you within the next 12 months. And you don't need to know how it will occur, but holding the intention that this will occur for you within the next 12 months. Just really experience these wonderful feelings as you make this scene of you as a successful healer as strong, as vivid, and as colorful as you can. Just utilizing all your senses, just feeling this, even smelling it, even tasting success. What is this like for you, taking you, your healing business, onto a higher level? And now ask the higher realms or the God of your understanding for this or something better to manifest for you. Remember that the universe may have something wildly better than what you could currently envisage. So be open to that or something better. And now just imagine floating in a beautiful body temperature pool of warm water is floating on your back, your arms and legs outstretched, and you can just feel yourself merging with this comfortably warm water. And as you do so, the boundaries of your body, the boundaries of your energy field seem to dissolve. And you have this sense, this feeling, this knowing of becoming one with all that is, of experiencing the blissful state of oneness. No longer separate or alone, but one with all that is, with the universal energy field. And with ease and grace, allow yourself to be connected vibrationally to the flow of all the people, synchronicities, resources, and situations that will bring your vision of success for you as a healer to fruition. That or something better. Feel that now. Feel yourself connecting. This beautiful waters, you're floating. And in this space, you can ask this prayer or whatever has meaning to you. God, how best may I serve and be abundantly paid for doing so? Show me a divinely aligned action step to take today. Please make it clear and easy for me to understand. Please guide me. And I'm now going to ask that the angels take from the group, from the energy field, any energetic dross that's accumulated and return this to the light for transmutation. And I ask that this be done now. And I ask now that the angels also assist in closing the lotus flowers that have been opened in the chakras back down to the highest level of functioning that each and every person on this call can hold, to the highest vibrational level that each and every person on this call can function at, which is likely to be a much higher vibrational level than before. And you will still feel the energy of the Divine Feminine close to you, working in, through and as you, even after this meditation is closed. The powerful healing effects of this meditation will continue powerfully, bringing you to a much, much higher vibration where you can speak your truth and align authentically with your highest soul purpose as a healer. And the Divine Feminine Presence is now a gently receding, fading away, although you still feel connected to the energy of the Divine Feminine. I'm just going to give a little count up now in a moment to bring you back to full waking consciousness. And by the time, I'm going to count from 1 to 5. And by the time I get to the count of 5, you'll be back in your room, fully present, feeling yourself well grounded and with loads of energy and vitality to get on with whatever the rest of the day has in store for you. So 1, starting to feel the energy returning back up through the feet and the hands. 2, more and more energy up through the arms and the legs now. 3, feeling blood pressure, heart rate and pulse returning to a normal, healthy level for you. 4, getting closer to the surface now, feeling fully invigorated, eyes starting to open. And 5, eyes open, wide awake, crystal clear, having a good stretch, bit of a wriggle around, move those fingers, those toes, and if you've got any water handy, just have a good drink of water. Okay, welcome back.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Michelle. That was really great. Wow.
My pleasure. And I'd strongly suggest that people listen to that meditation several times. I was cognizant of the fact that time was getting on a little bit, so maybe there were times where I would have liked to slow it down a little bit, but I thought, okay, well, I know people have, you know, a lot to do. So if you want to go back to it, or if people want to go back and listen to it again, each time you do that, you will get more and more out of it and become more and more clear in your vision, which can also shift and change each time as your vibration continues to raise.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. I know I got some really strong, clear messages again, like when we allow ourselves to connect in this place and with your strong, powerful meditation that utilized elements that I really loved, and it was really awesome. And the questions you asked and the state you got us into, I really got some really strong, clear signals that are really ones that have been there, you know, but have just come through even stronger, you know, now. So I'm really grateful for that. So, Michelle, that was really, really quite a gift. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast, and I invite you to leave a review or a rating on iTunes. Don't forget to tell your spiritual friends about Light Up Your Life too. And for more information about my work and even how you can have a free 15-minute private healing session with me, make sure to check out either of my websites at healthehealer.com, that's heal-the-healer.com, or angelwingshealing.com. May your days be blessed with light and love, and until next time, bye for now. Namaste.